Hello, hello. Today I've got very special guests, two beautiful divas and the legends of the community radio, Women's Profile Show. Woohoo! Natalie Garriott and Maureen Moppio. Welcome.
How are you, Billy?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Ladies, is it very different for you to be on the other side of the panel?
For me, it's really stressful because I used to be on the other side of the panel, so I'm out of my comfort zone.
Oh.
It's such a security to be with all the button and...
That's really amazing. For me, I'm the one doing the interview, so now I'll have to sit on the other side of the microphone and answer questions.
So your show is every Friday on 4EB, and it's called Women's Profile?
That's correct. We go on air every Fridays from 12 to 1 p.m.
And what do you do? Do you invite different speakers? You have different guests?
For women, about women, and made by women. So we try to invite a lot of guests from the communities, doing a lot of... We have, I think, a lot of variety in guests, a lot of singers. I like singers and musicians. And Maureen, she is really a lot inside the community, works with women. And so we have a very different kind of guest.
Yeah, we also cover issues like domestic violence issues, to climate change issues, to women homeless in Brisbane, to poverty, to mental health and other health issues as well. So it is a variety of women that we cover.
And we like also to talk about topics about youngs and not so young people, because it's really about all the society. And when it is a topic that is sometimes very hard to discuss about, we try to find at the show after something a little bit more light. And
yeah, your show is full of interesting content and very important content. Really interesting guests. Yeah, I enjoy listening your show every week. And
yeah, I think it's nice also when you learn about women, their life, what they have been through, challenges. And I think it's the best part, because from everyone's stories you can learn something. Or if you don't learn, at least you can hear something different. From someone coming up from a different background, which is very important, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I'd agree with that. Recently, we had students, well, not so much students, but professional doctorate students from the South Pacific region, Dr. Wani Eric and Dr. Hina Akba. Well, I should say Hina Akba and Wani Eric were our guests, and they were doing research into Pacifica and Maori health issues in diabetes for Hina and for health child access for Wani. So those were interesting conversations to have with them, to find out how their challenges were, who they were interviewing, the research they were conducting, how long it's taking them to study and all that sort of stuff.
And also the widow of war, like her story, you know, the widow of war.
Oh, the widows of war. She had a very interesting tale to tell as well, how she met her husband, late husband, and it was just started through her breaking up from boyfriend, and she was on the train and she was feeling sad, and the other friend's mother said, oh, I've got a son who's in the war, and then they just exchanged letters and it wasn't romantic at all, she said. But it's just showing how true love works in very different ways, doesn't it?
And they fell in love. That's a beautiful story.
But no wonder how interesting your show is. No wonder you guys got three awards. You won three awards.
Yes. We hope for another
congratulations.
One.
Congratulations. Go for it. Go for it.
The first award was in 2011. We were not part of that team, but the one that we would proudly say put claim to is 2013 and 2014 Program of the Year, one with the National Ethnic Multicultural Broadcasting Commission throughout Australia amongst all the community radio programs. So that was interesting, wasn't it?
Yes, it was great.
Natalie did some very good crossfade of music. And
no, also, it's very interesting because we are all volunteers, and in a radio, when you come into radio, sometimes some people you met, some people who are coming from a journalist background, who are doing those in studies, and when you are just volunteers, people who are here to do a show, when you win something, you are very surprised first, very happy. But I think we have also to acknowledge the other people who are doing this every week, every month, because they are doing a lot of work too. It's not because you are a volunteer that you come at the radio all relaxed and just with the feet under the table, everything is perfect. It doesn't work like that.
And I think when you come, as you say, all volunteers, when you work from the heart, you really enjoy doing what you're doing and
that's
contributing
true.
With producing the show and broadcasting, paneling. I think listeners can hear that, don't you think, when they hear that someone is sincere and honest and they're doing stuff from the heart?
I think they can hear that Maureen is the good cop and I am the bad one.
We would like to talk about your background.
Well, I am, obviously some people can hear I've got an accent. I'm French. Not from France, I'm sorry, not from Paris or Lyon. I'm from New Caledonia, just a tiny island in the South Pacific. What can I say about my background? I'm born there and I really enjoyed the life I had as a child living in an island. I think I was really lucky because we grew up through really close of the sea. We went fishing, fish or the shell. And well, life is really easy on living on an island. And when I look at my daughter, I'm really happy that she had the childhood here too, there too. And because when I see people living in France, it's completely different for me. Really, you are more anonymous, I think.
That's interesting. Me, I come from Papua New Guinea, from Makeo to be precise, but I grew up mainly in boarding schools, so I was mainly run by Catholic nuns, and the Catholic nuns were from France.
Ooh.
And Belgium.
And I'm so sorry to say that my dad was so much against the Catholic school, and he was the only one in the whole family to never send his children to Catholic school. He was against that, so we were in public school, which was a kind of shame in some families before, but I'm very happy. I grew up with a lot of friends.
So Maureen, can you speak some French?
A petit peu, but with an English accent. No. I'm learning from Natalie.
Yeah, no, don't learn her how to swear.
No swearing words. It's nice, no. Polite ones.
So what about your food and music? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well,
traditional.
Traditionally in New Caledonia, we have the bunya. It's a kind of meal that we are preparing. It's inside banana leaves with coconut, and we have some inyam, carrot, fish, sometimes or chicken, depends of what kind of bunya you want to make, and you wrap it with the banana leaves, dig a hole, put it in the hole and cover with some hot stone, and then it cooks like that, and it's a long process, so it takes I think for 4 hours, and when it's all ready you just take off all the stones, and when you open, the smell is just wonderful because the banana leaves gives a kind of perfume, of smoke perfume to the vegetables, and it's really good. But after that, no, we used to eat like I think anyone else, like big meat and french fries.
Yeah, would you wrap the potatoes in that as well? I think I've seen it in some
kind of kind of vegetables you can find on the island. If it is growing on the islands and in the houses, in the gardens houses, you can put this inside the meal, because it's a kind of meal that you do for a whole family, and usually before the family were big, you had a lot of children, so
it's sort of similar to what is in Papua New Guinea, and I guess it's also similar in all the Pacific region. We call from the Highlands region, they call it mumu, or New Guinea Islands region, and mumu is also like you dig a hole and put very hot stones and cover your food, cow, yams, taro, cassava in banana leaves, and put it and then cover it all up so that you're there for 4 to 5 hours.
I think they came in New Caledonia to learn that they stole our recipe.
And for the Rabaul people, they call it aigir, which is a different style but similar method of slow cooking. And in mine, we call it iwapi. And iwapi, we have a big 44-gallon drum, all with charcoal or hot stones underneath, and cover our food in bananas and put it in the hot oven.
And the taste? How is the taste?
Oh, it's really very nice. And either you use pork or chicken, or
very different from a McDo, I have to say. And maybe more natural kind of food that you can really find, and you can do it in your hot pot too.
Oh yeah,
we can do this with the hot pot. You just have to have some banana leaves.
Or even that's true. Banana leaves is a must, and normally you can also have it in the Weber, like a barbecue Weber, or even a barbecue plate. Cover everything in banana leaves, because I feel that the banana leaves gives that taste,
the perfume.
Maybe
we can do that. We can do that because we don't have any hard winter like in Europe. You know, in Europe you can't dig a hole in winter. Here in winter you can dig a hole. How
so
lucky
long
we
as
are.
The wind is not very strong, because the weatherman wouldn't like the fire to be built in the wind or something like that.
Yeah. What about dancing? What's the traditional dance?
It's we call it the pilu pilu.
Pilu pilu.
Pilu pilu. Uh-huh. It's a kind of dance that you have to follow the instrument, of course, the rhythm with the bamboos, and it's hard to explain without the music and without mm-hmm. the gesture, but it's a tribal dance. Mm-hmm. So you have some painting on your body. You have to know that New Caledonia is maybe the only French island in the South Pacific, but they have a lot of common with the people from all around, like Solomon Islands, Fiji, Papua New Guinea, because Vanuatu. Let's not forget Vanuatu, because we are in the Melanesia, mm-hmm. Melanesia part,
region.
And I think we have a lot of similarity in old culture. And if I was coming from France, I would tell you, oh yes, I've got my bread under my arm, my beret on my head. But New Caledonia is a little bit. It's really island.
I found when I was in New Caledonia, I found out that the traditional dance is similar, and the way they dress one of the islands is similar to the East New Britain province in Papua New Guinea, mm-hmm. and the similar dresses and dancing. For mine, we have our traditional dance is either called Kitoro or Ngevava'a.
Kitoro,
Kitoro,
and the second one,
Ngevava'a.
Like
Kitoro
Ngevava'a?
Is a Ngevava'a. So Kitoro is more of a slow steps you take. You dance to the beat of the drum as well, and Ngevava'a is swinging of the graskets, and the graskets are made of sago palm leaves. So if it's in unison and everything from a distance, it looks really spectacular.
So both men and women are dancing.
Yes,
this kind of dance?
In both of the Kitoro mm-hmm. and Ngevava'a, both men and women do dance together. If they are leaders of the dance, they go ahead in front mm-hmm. and they dance. And the men are dressed differently, but the face painting on the face of yellow, red, and black depicts where they're from the chieftain role or from the working class family, and so that's how we paint our faces too, and also the type of hairdresses we have shows where we are from.
Mm. We have also the cowboy dance in New Caledonia.
What's that cowboy dance?
It's because we have a lot of cowboys living in the far north after the city is Nouméa, and if you drive a little bit then the landscape completely changes. In the south it's very green with red soil and really, really different from the north, and in the north you have a lot of cows and cowboy on their horses, and you can imagine a little bit like in USA, you know, they are running after the cows with their
whips.
Yes, the whips, and so let's imagine that they are dancing with their feet and like a good country men and women.
Do they wear cowboy hats?
Of course, they love that, and they were crazy about USA. Never say that to French people, but because they will be jealous. But for a while, I remember when I was young, a lot of people from New Caledonia, they were doing manifestation in the streets because they wanted to be American.
Listen to Zed Digital. And perhaps the time to find out about your talents, these two amazing ladies.
I know that Natalie plays the ukulele.
Lots of creative talents.
No, I can play ukulele but one song. I can play the piano one song. That's it. I just learn one by one, but I like to have a look at everything. That's what I like.
Yeah.
I actually in the music sense, I can only sing in the shower, and I play the recorder. I was meant to play the guitar and piano at school, but then because the nuns hit me on the fingers, so that's why I decided not to attend the class. So it was very strict, and I regret that. I could have loved to enjoy playing guitar or the piano, and but apart from that, I can say I play basketball, although
yes, that's true, Maureen, basketball.
Yeah. My sisters were much better volleyball players, and they'd play in the A grade, whereas I'd play in the B grade division. So, but I didn't mind, so long as I'd got my sports in.
Yeah, I think and my new challenge will be the drums.
Oh, that'd be good and interesting, wouldn't it?
Yes, it's nice. I think it's completely different. And, you know, I love the guitar, but it hurts my fingers. Each time I want to... it's too hard. And
which type of drum were you looking at? The bongos or the...
No, the real drums.
The real drums.
Yeah, like if I wonder you see someone new behind the Rolling Stones or...
Oh, okay.
Might be me.
One little bird told me that Maureen is into filmmaking.
Oh. Oh, yeah, actually, I was involved with a film crew, and it was sponsored by the French government. We produced a film called Tin Piece Run, which means that it's a tin of fish, and a tin of fish, it's like a staple food for the ordinary Papua New Guineans. And we highlighted the tourism, the social issues, and rascalism. At that time, our country was portrayed very negatively, so that's why this film was trying to impose a positive image of the country.
Was it short film or feature film?
It was a feature film, so it was a 90-minute one.
Was it screened at the cinema?
Yeah, it was showed at the Cannes Film Festival as well, and it was showed at the Sydney Film Festival. Oh. It won several cultural awards in Holland, America, Hawaii, and just got a commendation from the Cannes Film Festival. So it was an experience then, eh? It was interesting. And also, the other thing that I was involved in was, it was part of the Women and PNG Women and Law Committee, because I was working there as a journalist, and we were promoting the issue of domestic violence in the 1986 to 89, when domestic violence, the PNG Law Reform Commission then did a research into the urban group to find out how high domestic violence was, and then as opposed to the village level. So we ended up doing a campaign, media campaign promotion, produced a 1-hour documentary on domestic violence, and then produced PNG Tok Pisin and Tok Motu and English. Those are the three official languages to teach women where to go for help, what sort of assistance to ask for from the police, and also educating the police officers to attend to the issue and not walk away and look at it and think that it's just a domestic issue, but to attend to it. So that was quite a massive media campaign that I was involved in.
With a feature film, what was your role?
Tin Piece Run. It's interesting that my role was a director's assistant, but I ended up doing costumes as well as getting the main actress learning her lines. We would practice at night time so she could practice her lines as a main actress, because she was from the coastal area, got involved with a Highlands guy, and we tried to portray the different contrast of customs on the coastal region as opposed to the Highlands region. So we got the seaside to the Highlands mountainous area. That's the role I played, as well as
Co-production designer, costume.
Costume designer,
costume
mainly.
Designer as well.
But it was mainly, I was also was involved in the casting of the actor and actresses, and it was all Papua New Guinea filmmakers. The only assistance we got from the French government was the funding, as well as they released their audio and film assistant cameraman to assist our cameraman and to assist our audio people on how to record in a tribal fight situation or to record in the seaside with waves crashing and all that sort of stuff. So it was quite different in that regard. So that production took about 6 months in the making,